Now in chapter 16, we come to the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. And the bodily resurrection of Jesus is one of the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith. It's the very heart of the primitive gospel. Every sermon preached in the book of Acts is a message on the resurrection. Every speaker got to this subject, and the early church dwelt upon it constantly. And unfortunately, we only have one Easter sermon a year. He's risen. That's the thrilling message which electrified a lethargic and sinful generation in the Roman Empire, turned them upside down, wrong side out and right side up, and they went out to tell the world about it. There'd be hope today if the church would preach this truth with much assurance, let me tell you. Now, I want you to notice here that this chapter has been one under severe criticism by the higher critics, and very candidly, rightly so. And the only reason I'm going to mention this is because of the fact that there'll be some will say, well, doesn't he know the textual problem that is here because he's passing over it? Well, I'll say to you, I know that it's here. From verses 9 through 20 have been called in question by the textual scholars of both the conservative and the liberal groups, Westcott and Hart. For instance, they omit it from their Greek texts. They do include it in smaller type, and Nessel follows the same procedure by separating it from the regular texts. And some, of course, the liberal wing, omits it altogether. Now, the better manuscripts omit it entirely. And frankly, the manuscript Aleph, which is one of our best, and the Vatican manuscripts, they end Mark's Gospel at verse 8 of chapter 16. Now, I'm not going into this problem of New Testament introduction. That's not our purpose in studying the Bible like this. I call attention to it just for one reason, to let you know we know it's there, in order that I might say that I treat all of the chapter 16 as the Word of God. Now, without any further ado, let's move into this chapter. We have first the arrival of the women at the empty tomb in the first four verses. Then the announcement of the angel that Jesus had risen, verses 5 through 8. Then the appearances of Jesus, verse 9 through 18. And then the ascension of Jesus, verses 19 to 20. We'll hit high points here. And when the Sabbath was passed, that is now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. They never were able to anoint him, I'll tell you. It was not Mary of Bethany who wasted her ointment. It's these women that did, because he was risen. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Now, the Sabbath had ended at sundown on Saturday, and they secured the spices sometime after that in order to make the trip to the tomb so early on Sunday morning. And the same women who were present at the cross came to the tomb. And I think it's accurate to state that the women were the last at the cross and the first at the tomb. The attitude of the disciples was that he was dead, and it's better to stay undercover until after all the excitement had died down and they were no longer in danger. Did they intend to go to the tomb? There's no evidence to support such an intention. None of them intended to visit that tomb. Now, it was very early at sunrise, and these women intended to anoint the body of Jesus with the spices they'd bought. And they were presented with the difficulty of getting into the tomb because of the stone at the door. Now, their difficulty was dissolved by the fact that the stone was rolled away. The body of Jesus was gone. There was a heavenly message with the first announcement of the resurrection. That the tomb was empty is a fact that's well attested and established. The evidence is such that it would be acceptable in a court of law.